Titans back at it on the big stage Saturday night, 7:15 our time, just like this past week in Foxborough, except for this week, it'll be in Baltimore against the Ravens. The man who'll be in the booth on the call, Ian Eagle, does a tremendous job. Him and Dan Fouts will be calling the game on Saturday night. Ian, how you doing?
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Well, we got a lot to talk about in this market.
Oh, yeah.
We do, don't we?
It's been refreshing because obviously over the last like decade there hasn't been a ton to talk about in January unless we were talking about other teams in the playoffs, but that's not the case. The Titans got it done in Foxborough against the Patriots, and now they've got their hands full with the Ravens team. We had Jeff Fisher on the show earlier today. We had Trent Dilfer on yesterday. Obviously, Titans and Ravens in the playoffs in this market over the years, is especially back in the days. I mean, Jeff Fisher was the coach three times when those two teams met in the playoffs. It was a big, big deal, and it's going to be a big deal this weekend, even with it being a road game. What are you expecting? When you're examining this game all week, as we sit here in the middle of the week, what do you think we're going to see on Saturday night?
Yeah, I've seen Baltimore a lot this year, both TV and radio, and I've seen Tennessee enough. Had them twice on TV, had them once on radio, so I had them pre-quarterback change and then literally right after the change when Tannehill made his first start against the Chargers, then caught them a little later against Jacksonville. And really what's amazed me with Tennessee is how confident this group is. The fact that they don't view it as they're just happy to be there, happy to be a part of it. Sometimes with a six seed, you get a little bit of that. I'm not feeling that at all, and I think a lot of that has to do with Mike Vrabel and his approach and the fact that they've really taken on a bit of his personality over the course of this season. There's a true belief. This team is not intimidated by the idea of playing the number one seed. They're not intimidated by the idea of going to Baltimore. The ground and pound mentality, which can be very successful in the postseason, makes you feel pretty good about the Titans when they've got a physical specimen in Derrick Henry that nobody has been able to figure out how to tackle in the second half of the season. So from the Tennessee point of view, they're going to do what they do. I don't think there's any secret in that. Hopefully for them, the conditions are such that Ryan Tannehill can toss the ball around a little bit, but ultimately their bread and butter is going to be riding the shoulders of Derrick Henry. Baltimore, look, it's amazing that they have completely reinvented themselves, and they've had this historic run thanks to this very special talent in Lamar Jackson. And sitting down with him in production meetings, he is not trying to be anybody else but himself. He's not playing the part of what he thinks a quarterback's supposed to say or what an MVP candidate's supposed to say. He is genuine. He is real. And there's a reason why his teammates have reacted and latched on to him the way that they have. He's a really likable guy, and it's all joy. He just brings so much of that to the field, and it permeates through the team. They had a magical season, 14-2, best season in Ravens regular season history, and that's saying a lot for a team that's won two Super Bowls. They do it in a very unique way. Because they can beat you in a couple of different ways. You don't want to really get into a scoring shootout with them because they'll beat you that way. But you want to get physical with them, they're okay with that. They can play both styles. It's really, to me, the most intriguing matchup of this weekend, just based on the fact of the mystery of Tennessee and how they're going to handle themselves in this spot.
That's a really good point. In fact, Tim Hasselbeck joined us last hour, and I said, what's the most intriguing game to you this weekend? And he absolutely said it's the Titans and the Ravens. And going back to what you laid out Baltimore perfectly. I mean, they don't have really any warts. And if they do, they're like hidden, you know, underneath their clothes. They don't have any visible warts. They're just a really, really good team all around. But when we had Trent Dilfer on yesterday, albeit he lives in Nashville, but he's getting honored in Baltimore this weekend around this game. And when we asked him about how this is going to play out, I mean, he did not hesitate to think that this game is going to be close and it is going to be nip and tuck in the fourth quarter. And to be honest, I was a little surprised by that.
I think the Titans have gained so much respect nationally based on their performance last week and the way they played with Tannehill. They looked like a different team. Now, I can tell you, when we sat down in our production meetings for that first meeting with Ryan Tannehill when he was named starting quarterback, and I did a bunch of his games in Miami, what I felt just from the meeting was a guy that completely realized that what he had experienced as the backup quarterback is something he did not want to experience again. He didn't have a choice. It was what it was. Marcus Mariota was the guy. He handled it impeccably well. He's a great guy, so a great teammate. There was no jawing from him. There was no behind-the-scenes politicking. He just went about his business, tried to get a lay of the land, tried to bond with his teammates as much as he could as the backup QB, but not overstep the bounds. But in that meeting, there was a confidence about him that I think really took hold with this team. Maybe they didn't want to acknowledge it. Maybe they didn't want to admit to it, because that's hard to do when Marcus Mariota is considered an incredibly likable guy and a talented guy, and you wanted to make it work. But when you know in your heart that it's not working and that one switch might change everything, and to me it did. It just tipped the scales to a point now where people have taken notice into what they are and what they're all about. And that's why I think there are most people around the country that are looking at this saying this is no pushover game for a number one seed that looked like a clear-cut Super Bowl team. Yeah. That's not to say Baltimore is in favor. They are. They're favored heavily if you're looking at the Vegas side of things. But looking at the football side of things, I doubt this is the team Baltimore wanted to play. They would never acknowledge that or admit that, but I doubt this is the team they wanted to match up with in the divisional round.
My memory isn't the best, so here goes. Did you and Dan have the Chargers game here this year?
We did.
Now,
we did.
How about, isn't that crazy? This is why this league is crazy, because just think about that finish, which I have to, you've done so many games over the years that had to have ranked up there as one of the craziest finishes ever. And just think about it, that could have swung either way. If the Titans lose that, we might even be talking about a team that was playing January football.
Yeah, that was as bizarre a finish as I can remember that I've done in 22 years of doing the NFL on CBS. That, if you would have told me that's how a game would go and end, I would have told you there's no possible way. Chargers will punch it in. Melvin Gordon, give them multiple chances. Chargers needed the game in the worst way to keep their season alive. And Tennessee, we know, was in a very raw state based on the quarterback change. And you're right, the sliding doors mentality when it comes to professional or collegiate sports of if this happens, then that happens. I don't know. I don't know how the season goes. I don't know if the Titans recover if they have to absorb a loss that week. I also worked the game Pittsburgh-Baltimore week 5 that goes to overtime. And Juju Smith-Schuster, with Duck Hodges stepping in for the injured Mason Rudolph, who got tagged, as you might recall, by Earl Thomas, knocked out of the game. Duck Hodges comes in. He actually leads the Steelers on a bit of a run that it appears is going to be a Pittsburgh victory. Juju Smith-Schuster fumbles the ball. Humphrey knocks it out. Ravens end up getting the ball and winning the game with Justin Tucker in OT. That would have been the third straight loss for Baltimore. They would have dropped to 2-3. They would have been dealing with all sorts of questions about the quarterback and the offense. Is it right? Is it working? And then none of that percolated to the surface. All of that was pushed off to the side because Baltimore won the game and they haven't lost since. So you're right. These moments that you might take for granted over the course of an NFL season, no big deal, you'll bounce back next week, they can haunt you and they can affect, in a domino type of effect, the way that your season goes. For Tennessee, it obviously led to an upswing, and here we are having this conversation on divisional round. It's amazing.
We're talking to Ian Eagle of CBS. He'll be on the call for Titans-Ravens in the divisional round Saturday night alongside the Hall of Famer Dan Fouts. You look at running backs in this league, see a lot of little guys, speedy guys. I mean, I can remember Chris Johnson when he was here with the Titans. Derrick Henry, 6'3", 240, somewhere around there, continues to just amaze me every time he touches the football. What is it about him that, I guess his size is what makes him so unique at that position, but what is it that you feel has made him successful?
Well, there are a couple of people at that position that I can speak of when we have these production meetings Friday for the home team, Saturday for the road team on any given Sunday, that step into the room where you have to do a double take first time you see him. Eddie George, first time he came in, that was my exact reaction. Like, whoa, what? Running back? Seriously? And Derrick Henry, certainly the height, but then you're just talking about the body type, and that's where it goes to another level. I think it's a combination of a number of things that make him so unique. Obviously, the size is the one thing that pops off the page, but it's the battering ram mentality. It's the workhorse nature that he gets better as the game goes on. He gets better as the season goes on. That's not usually the case. It's usually the opposite for a bunch of running backs who find tougher sledding in the fourth quarter or tougher sledding in weeks 12 through 17 as opposed to weeks 1 through 8 or 9. He can run between the tackles, but there's a very sneaky burst that comes with him getting to the outside and then him taking on a safety or a linebacker, and it's not a fair fight at that point. If a cornerback wants to help and run support, say goodnight. It's not going to happen. I was there doing the radio game for Tennessee Jacksonville, the 99-yard touchdown run, and the whole vibe of the stadium, when you know you're watching something that's different than everybody else that seems to be doing it and is accomplished at the same position at the same level. That's something I would say about Lamar Jackson. It's a similar feeling that you get, that it's a player playing a position that you've watched forever, but they're just doing it differently than everybody else. And that's Derrick Henry, in my mind. He is a difference maker. He is the real deal. And for the people that have not been paying attention, he's gotten their attention now with his performance last week. But even prior to that, he earned the attention of everybody around the league that he is one of the top-flight elite players at his position.
We had the opportunity to work with Derek Mason. He does our morning show, and, of course, he played for the Ravens and the Titans, but played for John Harbaugh, played with Joe Flacco, and I look at those teams, and obviously they were much different than what they are now. Do you feel like that with Lamar Jackson in this offense that it's almost reinvented John Harbaugh as a head coach? Because here was a guy last year we were kind of wondering, does he come back? Is this the end? But now they're the number one seed.
Well, it certainly rejuvenated him. Having talked to them on a number of occasions this season, I just feel like there's a little extra oomph, a little extra juice, because he knows, he said it, he voiced it to us in one of our early season meetings, that you're just excited as a head coach every day to walk into the building, to the facility, because you know you've got this special quarterback that you potentially could have for the next 10 or 12 years, and they've built the offense around him. I think in the NFL, it's an interesting dichotomy because with all the flurry of moves, with teams making changes at the head coaching position, you're looking for a certain type. And what's happened in my mind with Baltimore and with John Harbaugh, he has really embraced the role of being the CEO of the team. Of course, he's involved in the offensive game plan, defensive game plan, special teams, which was his bread and butter going back to his Philly days. He's involved, of course, like every head coach is involved. But I think there's a trust level with him and his coordinators, Roman and Martindale. And he has taken on this additional role of really understanding what makes these players tick, bonding with them in a way maybe he didn't do early in his career because it was a different kind of group. It was a veteran group. A bunch of those guys had already won a Super Bowl, so they were trying to do it again with some different personnel on the offensive side. And then there are those like Andy Reid that are so heavily involved in the game plan and the X's and O's, and that's worked for him. They very well could win a Super Bowl this year. This might be the crowning achievement in Andy Reid's career. The point is, when you're a team and you're looking for a head coach, the decision has to be made of who do you want representing your team? Who best represents what you're all about? And we just touched on it earlier with Mike Vrabel. I think Tennessee has figured that out, you know, that Mike Vrabel had a very distinct personality and viewpoint of how he wanted to run a team, how he viewed his team, and pairing him with a GM that was familiar with him and knew what he was all about in John Robinson, that is what you're looking for in the NFL. All these teams that are looking for the secret sauce, there you have it. You better have a person in that position that you trust representing you in the best times and representing you sometimes in the worst times.
I enjoy your work. Looking forward to Saturday night. Enjoy the game, and thanks for doing this.
Yeah, no problem. Great talking to you guys. It's really a fun week, the build-up, and trust me, people are paying attention to the Titans. They've earned the recognition, and they've done it the right way.
Good stuff. Thank you, Ian.
See you guys.
All right, Ian Eagle, he will be on the call. CBS Sports, him and Dan Fouts, Saturday night, 7:15 kickoff in Baltimore, Titans and Ravens. And there's yet again another vote for not surprised if this game is close.
It just, I've. And we'll
by the
talk
way, the
about
line has gone back up again.
Has it?
I saw it today at 10.
Yeah. I saw it, I think
Kansas
the last
City
I saw was
9:30.
Yeah. There's just something, there's this weird feeling that I've had since they beat the Patriots. And I had it even before that of, okay, they're probably going to win. They're going to beat the Patriots. And then I've just had this weird feeling all week of, is this just that team that they're not supposed to, but they're going to? And it's almost the reverse of what we saw in 2000 and 2008 of, you know, the football gods are more or less saying, all right, it's the Titans' turn. Time for them to get theirs. I just, there's something to that. And everybody bringing up Vrabel and how they've taken his personality. I think there's something to that.
I want to talk to all the men out there. I've been telling you for years about my friends over at Cool Springs MD. And they know a lot of you men have started to seek help for hormone deficiencies and imbalances. And Dr. Jeffrey Lodge, who is the board-certified physician over there, his wife Daphne Lodge, the registered nurse, and their experienced staff want to give you men the treatments that are required to improve your quality of life. And who doesn't want that? Cool Springs MD services have already helped a lot of you here in the Middle Tennessee area and surrounding areas with improving your immune systems, your energy levels, your cognitive function, and so much more. They're there to connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthy and enriched life. There's no better time to achieve that healthy lifestyle than right now. What are you waiting for? Pick up the phone. Make that appointment like I have. 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. Or you can always go to their website, coolspringsmd.com. During the break, every time you play, this is where, if you've seen the movie, and I just drew blanks, wow, Old School, there we go. This is for the bosses here, earmuffs.
Uh-oh.
I think we should just take tomorrow off and repackage the show up. And Elijah, if you could just edit all my Wednesday comments and just, we'll do Thursday, and then just re-air the show again tomorrow. Like, this was really good show.
It's a physical possibility.
But here's the thing.
I feel like we're in for a letdown.
No, we're not, though.
No.
If we do that, you will miss Pierre Maguire of NBC Sports.
Okay.
Kenny Vaccaro, Titan Safety.
Yeah.
Elliot Friedman.
Okay, we're back.
And
we're back.
And we will crown the silly underdog
champion.
Well,
I could miss that.
Yeah, so could I.
That. Yeah.
And we're efforting other things. So.
Okay. All right. You talked me into it, but
today has been really good.
Yeah.
It's been fun. I'm tired.
Like, if you guys are looking for weekend programming, you might want to just replay this
show.
Yeah,
no, that you could do.
Just replay this show.
Yeah, this show is rewind gold with all the guests we've had today. It's been a stacked lineup.
And honestly, we could have gone on and on. We could have gotten so many more stories out of Jeff Fisher.
We could have done an hour with Jeff Fisher.
Jeff was very talkative today. Ian Eagle, you just heard. We could have gotten going. Tim Hasselbeck was talkative today. David Poyle was great. Chris Mason. Whew. Covered a lot of ground. Speaking of, the Preds practiced today.
They did.
New head coach John Hines. They were practicing at Bridgestone Arena. Now they are boarding a plane, and they're about to shut the doors and take off down the runway and head to Chicago. Tomorrow night it'll be the Blackhawks.
I don't think you're going to see – you're still not going to see a ton of difference in things. It's going to take time. You know, we discussed it yesterday of how I kind of felt like the six games leading up to the All-Star break, that's going to be the time where you start seeing changes. But today's practice was very important because it's the first time that John Hines is able to put in his stuff and how he wants to run a practice and wants the guys to – I saw Adam Vingan tweet out there that even the practice jerseys and how he has the players wearing the practice jerseys are different than what Peter Laviolette used to do. So that, like Adam Vingan put, he has white jerseys for defense, gold for the top six forwards, blue for the bottom six to separate. That's different, but that's how, you know, a coach wants to run practice a certain way. So that's what he did. The lines, though, according to Adam, were pretty much what we've been used to, except he does have Kyle Turris centering Trennan and Watson on the fourth line. So has Jofa, Yarncroke, Duchesne, Granlund, Grimaldi, Bonino, Smith as the other forward lines. So it's going to take time and tweaking, and we'll see what he comes up with.
A lot of times I promote, you know, things. So, we're going to give something big away. I feel like today's show, there's no reason to tease or promote. You just should have been listening for the last 3.5 hours. If you haven't, you've missed a lot of really good stuff. So let's reward those people that have been with us the whole time, and they don't need a tease or me to tell you, hey, be listening, a chance to win this. Let's just go on and give you a chance to win tickets. The next home game, Predators and Ducks. That'll be next Thursday, January 16th. Here's the question.
Ooh, a question.
Roman Josi, the captain, got another point last night. He now has quite the streak going for consecutive games with getting at least a point. It's never been done by a defenseman, this streak. What is that current streak? How many games has Roman Josi collected at least a point in? He kept that streak going last night. Answer that, and you'll be at Bridgestone Arena next Thursday, January 16th, the next home game for the Predators as they face the Ducks. 615-737-1025, 737-1025. You must call in and tell Jason or Elijah the answer. You cannot text it in. So don't text it in. I know we have the text line too.
Yeah, we'll come up with some giveaways for the text line, but not this one.
But that is your question. We're going to keep you on your toes.
I like it. Make them work for it. That's how we do it on this show.
When we come back, Mike Milbury on, was that Monday night? Yeah, Monday night, because today is Wednesday. On Monday night, they were airing Toronto and Edmonton up in Toronto. And believe it or not, in their pregame on NBC Sports Network and during their intermissions, there's a lot of talk about the Predators. Mike Milbury, no stranger to Nashville. He had some comments. We'll hear what he had to say and discuss on the other side. Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. If you're looking for some pregame coverage leading up to Saturday night's tilt in Baltimore, this is your place. Calvin Smith and yours truly behind the glass, Elijah Campbell. We'll get things started at 9 a.m.
Bright and early.
9 to noon?
3 hours.
How about
on
that?
The radio on Saturday.
And following that, Chase, McCabe, and TD in Baltimore?
That is correct. And we'll actually do the Friday night show from Baltimore as well.
Nice. From 6 to 8?
Yep.
So you guys will be on from noon to 2 from Baltimore on Saturday. Then there'll be a special edition of Jared and the GM from 2 to 5. That'll be on location at Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House. That's in East Nashville, 1003 Russell Street. Then the official pregame show will take over with Jared Floyd Reese and Forever Titan Chris Sanders. That's from 5 until 7, leading up to kickoff between the Titans and the Ravens. Pre-game show, all that coverage is brought to you by Wholesale Link, powered by RumbleOn.com, Kubota Tractors, Middle Tennessee Kubota Dealers, and Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House. So if you're looking for live pregame coverage, this would be your place. The game's at 7:15 p.m. Yep. Our coverage starts at 9 o'clock a.m.
Yeah, 10 hours of coverage thereabouts. Looking forward to going to Baltimore. You know, I realized when they asked me to do this, this will be my first NFL playoff game that I've gone to. I've never been to an NFL playoff game before.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. Which is surprising to me, but I thought about it. I'm like, no, I've never been to one. So looking forward to it. Should be a good time.
I've been home and away.
Yeah, and I haven't been to Baltimore in, I was sixth grade, I think, last time I went to Baltimore.
I've never been there. I've never been to a game there.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that, and I've talked to some people that tell me it's a
It's right there with Camden nice. Yards.
Yeah, everything's right there
it's
together.
It's right there together, yeah.
Casinos right
there, 'cause I've been too. To Camden.
Yeah.
So I've seen it, but I've never been to a game there.
Yeah, so it'll be cool, and we'll have you covered here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Congratulations, Mark Meinhardt. Hope I said that right. Meinhardt?
Yeah, that looks right.
Down in Murfreesboro.
I don't think he has a mean heart, so go Meinhardt.
Yeah, let's go Meinhardt. I don't believe Mark is mean. Mark correctly guessed 11 games. 11-game point streak for the captain, Roman Josi, and that is correct. So,
ding,
Mark,
ding, ding.
We'll see you at Bridgestone Arena next Thursday for the Preds and the Ducks. Georgia offensive lineman Cade Mays has entered the transfer portal, per reports. Any idea where he may land?
Well, I know the answer because I told him to.
No, I know. I know the answer, yeah. Too.
He is, according to reports, going to transfer to the University of Tennessee. He would have to sit out the 2020 season per the SEC and NCAA transfer rules. So he would have to sit out, but he will be transferring.
He is a five-star kid.
Yeah.
It's a five-star recruit.
So that's a big pickup for Jeremy Pruitt and his staff as they try and make that roster even better. And, again, it won't help them next year, but that'll be good for them.
Because Trey Smith, they could use him next year, because Trey Smith is having a press conference tomorrow, I think at noon our time.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Just me thinking out loud. Usually when a kid has a press conference, it's not to announce that he's coming back. Usually. Yeah. Not always. I guess.
We saw one earlier this week where somebody had a press conference and announced they were leaving.
Yes, his name is Tua. I suspect Trey Smith is leaving.
Yeah, I think so.
And going to enter the 2020 NFL draft class would be my guess. Could be wrong, but I don't think so.
Well, and we've talked to Vince Ferrara about him quite a bit of what his decision is going to be. And look, he's had a tough college career just with all the health stuff that he's had to go through, but he's a really good player. I think if he's talked to draft people and scouts and gotten, you know, an idea of about where he would be, my guess is he's going to make the decision and go ahead and go.
My guess is he gone.
He gone.
That's my guess. Mike Milbury, inner booing sounds.
Yes.
NBC Sports. I told you they were airing Toronto and Edmonton on Monday night. There were some words about the Predators in pregame and intermissions. Let's start with what Mike Milbury said about the centerman for the Nashville Predators.
Well, 2 days ago, Peter Laviolette got a vote of confidence from David Poile. I guess that'll show you what vote of confidence will do for anybody. I hired Peter Laviolette as coach a long time ago. I liked him. I liked the way he related to players. I liked the way he disciplined players. I think he's a good coach. I think the problem in Nashville is down the middle. Johansson, Duchesne, and Terse, all chronic underachievers. I mean, you're not going to win with those guys in the middle. You can't count on them. Johansson had one playoff season where he was going pretty good till he got hurt. But the rest of these guys, when the moment comes, they have faltered. And that's a problem. And David Poile has to look at that, building that roster with those guys counted on down the middle. That's been a failure.
Now, look, I'll say this. Are they getting the production they need down the middle that they should be getting for what they're paying for it? No. But I'm not going to go as far to say it's a failure.
Chronic failure.
Chronic failure. I'm not going to go that far. Can Ryan Johansson play better? Yes. Can Matt Duchene play better? Yes. Can Kyle Turris play better? Yes. Nick Bonino, I'd say Nick Bonino has done his part.
Yes.
But I think those three for sure. And I know there's insinuating circumstances with Kyle Turris, and you know, maybe a new coach is going to spark him. Maybe you're going to get more out of him. Maybe he fits this system better than he did with Laviolette. We'll find out. Time will tell. But to say it's a chronic failure, I can't agree with that.
I said this yesterday, and I'll say it again. It's Mike Milbury, so I don't put too much stock into it. We rarely agree with really anything he says on this show. We've been pretty consistent with that over the years. But I've also said, you know, in part of all this, who's to blame whenever something like this happens? One, we all know the answer is E, all the above. Everybody, right. Everybody has some portion of blame in why a season is not going the direction everybody thought or it should be going, because they do have a lot of talent, they have a high payroll, and there's huge expectations because the last 5 years they've been in the playoffs, and we all know the runs. I don't need to go through the playoff runs. You know the lay of the land. But I've also said there are guys that are getting paid a lot of money and they're locked up for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just not producing to the level that they need to be producing. They're getting paid like elite players. And I realize that these guys that we're talking about are not going to be Nathan McKinnon. I get it. They're not going to be Austin Matthews. They're not going to be Ovechkin. They're not going to be David Pastrnak, who has 32 goals last night with his 32nd goal as we sit here in early January. But we've talked about it all year long. Kudos to Craig Smith, Nick Bonino, and Rocco Grimaldi. That line has been the most consistent line all year long. I don't even know how you argue that.
There is no
Roman Josi and Ryan Ellis have been extremely good this year. Extremely good. Have to take them out of the equation. Everybody else, there's just another level. And you can't have that third line as your most consistent.
Yeah.
You can get production and you can have them doing what they're doing, but the top six forwards, there has to be more.
Yeah.
There just does. You can't be talking about
Philip Forsberg has
the third line has, you know, being the best line. You just can't. Over a course of an 82-game season. We're now in the second half. This is game 43 coming up tomorrow night in Chicago. So I don't agree. But we also know that those top three centermen, that's about, was that $22 million between the three of them per season? What, 8, 8, and 6? Is that right?
Yep.
$22 million? Got to be more production.
Yeah, look, it's got to get better. And I'm going to put a lot of it, I'm going to start with Ryan Johansson, because I know Ryan Johansson is much more capable than 26 points, 9 goals. I mean, I know he can do better than that. And so I think he's really got to look in the mirror, and maybe a different voice is going to motivate him. Matt Duchene, 29 points.
Just to stop there for just a second. They're going into game 43.
Sure.
And he has how many points?
He has 26.
It's just not good enough.
It's not.
It's just not good enough for a guy making $8 million a year.
No, it's not. And he's appeared in every game.
Well, yeah.
Matt Duchene has missed, I guess, 3 games on the season.
Well, he missed the 2 games in Southern California.
And he had the one that he missed with an injury. 39 games, 29 points, 9 goals. Not good enough.
Not good enough.
It's not good enough. Philip Forsberg. I know he's not a center, but Philip Forsberg. 36 games, 30 points.
It's 15 goals.
15 goals.
Leads the team in goals.
He does. But there's another level for him. And, by the way, the play last night where he's trying to get cute, I understand you have to make something happen at that point in the game, but that kind of stuff in the situation that this team is in right now, I don't want to see that. And I know that's a play that if it works, I'd be drooling like everybody else, but when it doesn't work, I don't need to see that cute stuff. Just be a goal scorer. Just do what you do. Try and make something happen. So I think that John Hines is going to deliver that message loud and clear. The thing that I've really liked about him in the short amount of time that I've heard him speak is he keeps going back to I'm direct. I'm very direct. And there's not gray area.
Mm-hmm.
It's black and white. That's how it is. And I
yesterday.
Think that's what this team needs. This team needs that. And they need a voice that – they need somebody that doesn't know them. They need an outsider. So that's why I was glad that David Poyle went outside the organization, even though there were ties, but he went outside the organization. He doesn't know this team, and they don't know him. That's going to make it easier in my mind to turn some of this stuff around because you're not worried about
– And by the way, that's still just what we're talking about. It's just one layer. That's it. I mean, that's one layer. Like, that's – one thing that has to get better, like there has to be more production minus the third line, minus the first D pairing. There's got to be more production there. The play in front of the net has got to be better. They have to be more defensively responsible in their own zone. Special teams, I mean, that to me may be at the top of the list. It just may be.
It has to be.
It's just what, yet again, I mean, last year it was just the power play. This year, unfortunately, it's both. Penalty kill was sixth last year in the league overall after 82 games. Yeah. I mean, they didn't have an issue. They've had issues staying out of the box, but they haven't been burned because they've had a good penalty kill unit. They have not been good in that department this year. To me, special teams has got to get a whole lot better.
They
and
have to.
Not top 10 because it's not going to.
Mm-mm.
But it's middle of the pack is where it needs to be. Both. I don't think that may be a tall task to even where it needs to be.
Staying out of the box will help too.
Will help.
I mean, they got to do that. But you got to be able to defend.
Keith Jones talked about Peter Laviolette there. We talked about Pierre LeBrun wrote an article in The Athletic on Peter Laviolette. Keith Jones talked about Lavi and his future.
He'll look for a head coach that he thinks can come in right now and change the direction that the team is heading. We did the game last night, and Anaheim won in a shootout eventually, but they dominated the game. And Nashville was playing nowhere near the level that you would expect them to play before this season started. They had the opportunity at the Winter Classic to win a game where they were up 2-0. They lost to Dallas in that game. They've had multiple chances to get back in the race, and they've not got it done. So I'm not shocked that David Poyle did this. It's not his MO. He's not a general manager that just fires coaches to try to turn a team around. You can be sure that this was a well thought out decision from David Poyle. And Peter Laviolette is not going to be on the sideline for long. If he chooses to get back in the business and wants to continue to coach, he'll be one of the first guys that will be hired. He's an excellent coach. It wasn't working. And Mike talked about some of the guys that are underachieving in their performance. Whoever's coming in there has to turn that around quickly.
Yeah.
There you go. Keith Jones on NBC Sports. We'll come back, wrap up Wednesday's show next. Don't forget Smashville Live tonight in Bellevue. Chase, Julie, and Ida.
Yep.
A lot of fun from 7 to 8.
8098 Highway 100, the Brew House there in Bellevue.
I hope this is a really cool weekend.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's been...
It's got potential.
It's been fun. It's been refreshing. Talking about... postseason play.
Yeah.
In the NFL, other than just teams.
Right.
Not named Tennessee.
It's fun to talk about that. It's not fun to talk about what the Preds have gone through, but the positive is they're still, I think, 5 points out of the wild card spot. So we have that and their push to the playoffs. So, you know, sports radio is a lot of fun right now, and I hope the Titans can keep it up. It's flooring me, though, that the more people we talk to that cover the league on a national scale are saying they're not necessarily picking the Titans, but they're saying – this is going to be a lot closer than people think it's going to be. That this is not the matchup that the Baltimore Ravens necessarily wanted. That this is a tough out. And I think there were some, once the, you know, when the Titans punched their ticket to the postseason, you had some of that of, hey, they're the sixth seed, but they're going to be a tough one to get. And, you know, the Buffalo Bills had that same moniker, but I think that, that people are respecting the Titans and Mike Vrabel, and that's refreshing to hear.
I was just looking at MTSU putting out their home schedule next year. Am I looking at this right? They had Duke come in to Murfreesboro, right, this past season. Did I see this right? Virginia Tech?
Oh, yeah.
The Hokies are rolling to the borough next year.
Got a home and home.
They always seem to have – we talked about it when they played Duke. They always seem to have a big matchup come to Floyd Stadium.
That's going to be on September 19th.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
Hope that's I think that would be a night game.
Probably.
I hope so. Wow, Virginia Tech. Take on Middle. Good for them. Chris Massaro doing it again. I like that.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
I'm trying to think. That's, I mean, they've had Georgia Tech.
When I was
Mississippi
there,
State, yep. BYU.
Maryland.
Maryland, Duke. Dare I say it? I mean Mississippi State.
Was Georgia Tech was on the road, right?
No, Georgia Tech was here.
When they beat them?
I think they beat them on the road.
Right. But I'm saying Georgia Tech's been here.
Because when I was there, they beat Maryland. They did win that game at Floyd. I went to the Mississippi State game, which I think they lost.
No, they did.
Yeah,
Was that a crappy day? Wasn't that a crappy day? Obviously, they've hosted Vanderbilt.
Yeah,
I've been there. Speaking of rainy games,
beat Vanderbilt. If you
dare, I say, is Virginia Tech the biggest then?
Probably in town here. Yeah.
So I'm saying in Murfreesboro. Mississippi State's an SEC team, but
right.
Virginia Tech, Justin Fuentes, I mean, that's...
Yeah, that's going to be big. Have they named a DC yet?
I don't know.
Is Bob Foster retired? Bud Foster?
Yeah. I don't know. We'll have plenty of time to figure that out.
Yeah, we will. I mean,
I just saw that. I thought I'd pass that along.
Yeah, I think that's cool.
I know that's September. It's kind of a ways away, but I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
So tomorrow, you heard it, we'll have Pierre McGuire.
Yep.
We will have Kenny Vaccaro of the Titans. He had a whale of a game in their win of the Patriots. I mean, he was really good. So we will talk to him tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
We will crown our silly underdog champ.
Yes, he's very excited about it, just so you know.
Yeah, I know.
He wants a victory song.
We'll have Elliot Freeman on, our normal chat with him.
Mm-hmm.
Am I missing anything?
That's it so far.
That's so far.
So far. And Friday, D-Mace is going to hang out with us to start the show, to walk down memory lane. And then one of his former coaches, Brian Billick, will join us at 10:15. So we'll talk to Brian Billick from the NFL Network and get the other side of some of the trash talking and everything that went on back in the day between the Titans and Ravens. We heard Coach Fisher today. We'll get Coach Billick on Friday. That should be a lot of fun.
Looks like Adoree Jackson was a participant in practice today, but Kamalea Correa was not. Jayon Brown was not. Adam Humphries was not.
I forget Adam Humphries is on the team at this point.
It's been a while. So we'll have plenty.
Khalif Raymond did clear the protocol.
Okay.
I did see that.
That's good.
So he has cleared the concussion protocol.
What a fast-moving show today. Hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. We had an A-list guest list today, and they had great stories to tell us, and we'll try to duplicate that tomorrow. You have a great rest of your day. We will talk to you tomorrow at 10 a.m. Stay tuned. Jared and the GM is next.